Have you ever watched a student nail turns around a point during training? Smooth, confident, looked great from the right seat, and then watched them get marked unsatisfactory on the check ride for the exact same maneuver? It happens, more than it should. And every time I've seen it, it came down to one thing. A constant bank angle. The circle looked decent, but the ground track wasn't holding. The examiner knew it immediately. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're taking a hard look at ground reference maneuvers, turns around a point and S-turns across a road. These are private pilot checkride requirements, and they're the ones that sneak up on students who think they've already got them figured out. They also follow you into your pattern work and your cross-country flying in ways that matter long past the checkride. Real quick before we go, shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the pilot journey. First solo private pilot, instrument commercial, they've got a coin for each one. A genuinely great way to mark the milestones that mean something. AviationSoul.com, all right, let's get into it. Ground reference maneuvers show up in the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate under Area of Operation 5, Performance and Ground Reference Maneuvers. Specifically, you'll need to demonstrate turns around a point and S-turns across a road. On the surface, these maneuvers look simple. Put the airplane in a bank, fly around something, cross a road a few times. But there's a concept underneath them that takes a while to really internalize, and if you don't internalize it, you won't demonstrate it on the checkride. Let me give you that concept first, before we talk technique. You are flying through a mass of air. That air is moving across the ground. The speed you're flying through the air, your airspeed stays fairly constant as long as you hold your pitch attitude and power setting. Your ground speed, how fast you're actually moving across the earth, is the combination of your airspeed and the wind. Flying into a 20-knot headwind, your ground speed drops by roughly 20 knots. Flying with that wind behind you, your ground speed goes up by 20 knots. Different numbers, same math. In turns around a point, your job is to fly a perfect circle around a fixed spot on the ground. Constant radius. The center doesn't move. The circle doesn't change size. Your airspeed doesn't change throughout the maneuver, but your ground speed does change throughout the circle because your relationship to the wind changes constantly as you turn. When you're on the downwind portion of the circle, flying with the wind at your back, your ground speed is at its highest. You're covering more ground per second than at any other point in the circle. If you maintain the same bank angle you used on the upwind side, that extra ground speed pushes you outward and the radius expands. The circle balloons on the downwind side. When you're on the upwind portion, flying into the wind, your ground speed is lowest. You're covering less ground per second. The same bank angle you used downwind would bring you too close to the point and tighten the radius. So to maintain a constant radius throughout the circle, your bank angle has to change continuously. Steepest on the downwind side, shallowest on the upwind side. Always varying, never constant. That's the key insight. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. In ground reference maneuvers, you're not flying a bank angle, you're flying a ground track. The bank angle is just the tool that gets you there. The moment you start chasing a bank angle instead of watching your track over the ground, you've lost the plot. I had a student a while back who was struggling with exactly this. Great stick and rudder skills. Smooth on the controls, but every time we did turns around a point, the circle would be off, bigger on the downwind side, tighter on the upwind side. She couldn't figure out why, because her bank angle felt consistent. We landed and I drew it out on a piece of paper. Drew the wind arrow, drew the circle. Showed her what the ground speed was doing at each point around it, and you could see it click. She said, "The circle is the goal, not the bank angle." That was it. That was the whole lesson. On our next flight, her turns around a point were some of the cleanest I've seen from a student pilot. Now, how does this work in practice? For turns around a point, you'll typically fly at somewhere between 600 and 1,000 feet above ground level. Most instructors settle around 800 feet AGL as a working altitude, high enough for a reasonable margin, low enough that you can clearly see and judge your position relative to the reference point below. Picking your point matters. You want something visible, fixed, and in an area clear of any surface area airspace, a lone tree in an open field. The intersection of two rural dirt roads. A pond or distinctive terrain feature. Before you pick anything near an airport surface area, check your chart. The last thing you want is to be doing slow turns at 800 feet AGL and realize you've wandered into a class delta without calling anyone. Entry. You enter the maneuver on the downwind side of the point with the point directly off your wingtip. Why the downwind side? because that's where your ground speed is highest. You need your steepest bank right at the start, then you work your way through the circle, shallowing out as you head into the wind and steepening again as you come back downwind. A common starting reference for entry bank angle is around 45 degrees adjusted for wind strength. In light winds, you might not need quite that much. On a stronger wind day, you might push into the upper 40s on the downwind side to hold the radius. This is where pilot judgment comes in, and this is exactly what the examiner is watching for. They want to see you responding to actual conditions, not executing a memorized routine throughout the maneuver. Keep your eyes on the ground track first, instruments second. The reference point should appear to rotate at a steady rate around a fixed position relative to your aircraft. If the point is drifting away from you, the radius is expanding, steepen the bank. If it's pulling in close, shallow out. The adjustment is continuous and smooth. Altitude management. The airman certification standards allow plus or minus 100 feet from your selected altitude. Not 200, 100, at 800 feet AGL. That means you cannot deviate below 700 feet or above 900 without risking an unsatisfactory. In a steep bank on the downwind side, there's a tendency to let the nose drop and trade altitude for airspeed. Scan your altimeter on every revolution. Small, early corrections are much easier than recovering from a 100-foot deviation. Coordination always. Every turn in this maneuver is a coordinated turn. Keep the ball centered. Use your rudder to follow the aileron input, especially as you roll in and out of bank. Skidding at low altitude is a dangerous habit, and examiners flag it hard because the consequences of a skidding turn at 500 feet are very different from a skidding turn at 5,000. Now is turns. Turns across a road use the same underlying principle but a different geometry. You pick a straight ground reference line, a road, a fence, a railroad track that runs roughly perpendicular to the wind. You fly a series of semicircles that alternate sides of that line, each one equal in size, tracing a continuous S pattern across the reference. The entry, you cross the reference line at a 90-degree angle on the downwind side. As you cross, you immediately begin your turn. Because you're now heading downwind, your ground speed is highest, so you steepen the bank. As you work through the semicircle and come back toward the reference line heading into the wind, you gradually shallow out. You cross the line again at 90 degrees, roll immediately into the reversal on the other side, and repeat. That crossing and reversing moment is the hardest part of S-turns for most students. It requires you to be thinking ahead of the airplane. You need to know which direction you're turning, how steep the bank will be immediately upon crossing, and how to roll smoothly from one bank to the other without pausing at wings level over the road. If you're hesitating at the road, you're behind the airplane. That hesitation shows up as a flat spot on the S-turn where your track drifts in an unplanned direction before you get back into the bank. The examiner will see that as a loss of ground track awareness. The most common mistake I see on S-turns isn't actually the bank angle management. It's picking the wrong road. Students choose a reference line that's at some angle to the wind rather than perpendicular to it, maybe 45 degrees off instead of 90. When that happens, the upwind and downwind halves of each semicircle aren't clearly defined, and the maneuver stops making geometric sense. Your bank corrections don't correspond to what the wind is actually doing, and the whole thing gets sloppy. Before you fly, know your wind direction and pick a road that runs 90 degrees to it. If the wind is from the west, your road should run roughly north to south. Get that right on the ground, and the maneuver becomes much more intuitive in the air. Let me walk through the most common checkride mistakes I see across both of these maneuvers. Constant bank angle. This is number one. We've been over it, but it bears repeating because it is the most common reason students fail ground reference maneuvers on the checkride. Watch your ground track, let the bank serve the track, not the other way around, losing the reference point. It happens. You're busy. You look inside for a moment, and when you look back up, you're not sure where the point is. If this happens, roll wings level, find the point, reorient, and re-enter the maneuver. Don't try to complete a circle around a point you can only approximately locate. Rolling wings level and restarting is a demonstration of good aeronautical decision-making. Examiners credit it. Altitude deviation. Set your pitch attitude at entry and actively scan your altitude on every revolution. If you're at 800 feet AGL and doing turns, you're going around in roughly 45 seconds to a minute per circle. That's plenty of time for the nose to wander if you're not watching. Uncoordinated inputs. Especially when rolling from one bank direction to another in S-turns or rolling in and out of steep bank on the downwind side. Smooth, coordinated inputs throughout. Not completing the full demonstration. The airman certification standards expect a real demonstration, not a sample. Two full turns around the point. At least two complete S-turn sequences. Don't cut it short because you think it went well. A few things that help when you're practicing on your own. Brief yourself on the ground before you go. Know your wind direction, pick your reference points on a sectional, and know which road you're going to use for S-turns before you get airborne. Don't go up and look for something when you're already at altitude. Narrate it to yourself as you go. I'm on the downwind side, I need more bank, I'm turning into the wind, shallowing the bank out loud if it helps. That narration keeps your brain engaged with the underlying concept instead of just the mechanics. If your airplane has a moving map display, glance at your ground track line after the maneuver. You can actually see the circle or the S-turns drawn on the display. It's a useful teaching tool for understanding what you're actually doing over the ground versus what you feel like you're doing through the air. And practice in different conditions, light and variable versus winds of 12 to 15 knots, makes a significant difference in how aggressively you have to vary the bank. The stronger the wind, the more dramatic the variation, and the more satisfying it is when you hold the circle. Here's the bigger picture I want to leave you with. Ground reference maneuvers can feel like they exist only for the check ride. They don't. They exist because the skills underneath them are exactly what you use every time you fly a traffic pattern. The base to final turn, where you're heading crosswind or downwind relative to the runway. The final approach itself, where you compensate for crosswind to hold centerline. The turn from downwind to base, where your ground speed changes and the rate at which you're closing on the runway changes with it. That's all ground reference work. When you truly understand these maneuvers, not just the technique, but the concept underneath them, your pattern work tightens up. You start to anticipate what the wind is doing to your ground track instead of reacting to it. You stop being surprised when the base to final turn needs more bank than usual because of a quartering tailwind. The examiner isn't just testing whether you can fly a circle over a barn. They're testing whether you understand what wind does to an airplane's ground track and whether you can do something about it. Show them you understand. Vary that bank angle. Chase the ground track, not the indicator. Keep it coordinated from start to finish. That's what the standard looks like. And once it clicks, it really does make everything else easier. Today's information comes from the FAA Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate and the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook. More at RadioHanger.com. I'm Pattern Fly Safe, and I'll see you next time.